Bravo, bravo.
I kind of like it.
It's fun.
I get why you do it every time.
Amanda wanted to make that. The first time I did it, it was just a total whim. And she wanted to make it her alarm in the morning, didn't you?
Yes, I still want to. It's so fun. Imagine waking up to that.
I know. Though. Sometimes Carlos just says that to me out of the blue. He likes it too. It really sticks in your head. Yeah. I feel like at work, if they like ask me to do something, I'd be like, yeah.
You've got some good lungs when you do it, though.
Thank you so much. I've been really
working.
You could
have taken up singing.
I feel like
if you had a little bit of coaching, like...
Absolutely.
Star potential.
I really, like, if I could have gone back to my high school... We're going to talk about high school today, guys. If I could have gone back to, like, being 14, I would have been, like, going for auditions, doing singing lessons, doing acting lessons. I could have been fucking Anya Taylor-Joy, but I missed out. Now I'm an old grandmother, and I missed out on, like, those star power years. I think I have a decent voice, but I actually work really hard at it.
How? Just without singing lessons.
It's just practice. Like, I just sing way more than I ever did in my, like,
in the car.
I sing just.
But how can you practice without a coach? How do you know you're practicing in the right direction?
I think you just, it's like muscles. Like, I'm working my diaphragm. Okay. I'm working.
But how do you know how?
I don't know how. It's just, it's like anything. Like, if you take, even if you're not doing it. I'm not saying I'm a good singer, but like even if you're just like trying to teach yourself dance, you can get like decently far just teaching yourself. It may not be technically right.
Yes.
But you can like improve
get
a little
by.
Bit.
Yeah.
Like teaching yourself to swim. I mean, you can do it. It's just maybe not going to be perfectly technical.
It's true.
Anyway, this is like not the point, but I was speaking an unbearable amount last week, guys, and Amanda literally said 5 words the whole episode, which is my fault, not her fault. So I'm going to let her take over
this one. Uh-oh. I shouldn't have started with the hey.
People like you more than me, so you just take this one over.
Okay, Sarah, high school.
Yeah.
Blast from the past.
Excuse me. Yep. My prime of life. Just kidding.
Yeah. But
worst years.
You know what's sad? That actually is some people's prime of life.
It's lots of people's prime of life.
Well, the popular kids.
Well,
actually, no, some of them continue on.
Just like happy, positive, successful. Like Nathan, my brother, was great in high school, loved high school, and he's also still great now.
Yeah, but that wasn't like his prime.
No.
There's some people where it's literally like they spiral downwards immediately after.
Some of these bitches who were popular in my high school are now like engaged to like NFL players and like living in ranches in LA, and I'm like, what the fuck? You were supposed to peak. But they're still peaking. They're still
climbing. It's true. That's so funny.
I think that expression doesn't really work anymore, because I think that, like, if you're hot and you know what you're doing with social media, you can just be successful at the age of like 16 and like build a platform for yourself. And then it doesn't really matter if you leave high school, because you still have those followers.
Very true.
And that sort of started just at the cusp of me leaving high school. So these girls had a ton of followers for the time.
Yeah.
In high school. And now they've just been like slightly growing and slightly growing. Some of them are just thriving, and good for them. I'm not at all jealous. Not at all.
Really sounds like it.
Not at all.
Okay, so why didn't you peak in high school? What was your high school issues or?
What's that in my pocket? Oh, it's the divorce card. That's why. Sorry, Mom. I know you don't like it when I talk about the big D, but my parents got divorced. Or
kind of
separated.
Big D.
Oh, yeah. Both. My mom and dad got separated the summer before I went into high school, which is just
a difficult time.
A really hard time.
Yeah.
Even
without a divorce, that's just an awkward age.
Very awkward age.
A lot of people.
And I was nervous. The literal only person I knew in my high school was Nick, my brother. Because I went like all the way across town to a different high school. Every other person in my high school went to a local, sorry, everyone else from my elementary school went to a local high school. But
is it Holy Cross?
Holy Cross. But the reason my parents didn't want me to, or Frontenac, But the reason my parents didn't want me to do that was because they wanted me to be in a Catholic school and a French immersion school, and Rigi was the only option in Kingston for that.
Okay.
So that's where my sister went, that's where my brother went, and then that's where I went. I'm still very blessed and very privileged, but there was a lot going on at home, a lot of emotions that were overcoming, like overtaking my life. And dance, I was a competitive dancer, and I was teaching dance, and I was teaching swimming lessons. So I was just like busy, busy, busy. I had no time really to like hang out with boys or party. And I think I just missed out on that social aspect of it. And honestly, like I just couldn't fucking relate to people. Like everybody was just talking about who's dating who, who's going to what hockey game, like who's doing what drug, like who gave what boy a blowjob. And like I could not relate to that. Like in my head, I was an old soul. And I know it's lame when people call themselves an old soul, but I kind of was. Like I just was thinking about...
In high school, you were.
Honestly. I was. I was thinking about grown-up issues because I was dealing with grown-up issues with my family. Just the level of maturity and what I was thinking about at the time, I couldn't relate to these boys who were like, you know, having sword fights with their dicks, like in the change room. Like I just couldn't, that energy just completely turned me off. In terms of the social hierarchy, I was like somewhere in the middle. Like people knew who I was, and I wasn't a loser by any means, but it just, I felt like I didn't fit in the mold, and I felt, I just couldn't wait for it to be over. And then ever since then, I've been much more free to express myself. And I have no desire, like, even to walk into that building now, I get major anxiety. Like, it's quite sad, actually.
Oh, I don't think you could convince too many people to walk back into their high school.
I don't know.
A lot of people would feel weird about it.
I guess. You were quite popular in high school, weren't you? At least in Ottawa.
Yeah. So, as we mentioned before, I moved right in the middle of high school. So that was difficult, but yeah, I don't know. It feels weird to me to be like, yeah, it was popular. Like,
oh, girl, just own it.
I don't know. But like, I don't think it's anything to own, especially, my high school in Ottawa, it was very Mean Girls vibes. There was like, it was a massive, we were actually the biggest high school in Ottawa.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So you can only imagine like how huge it is. So it's scary. And I think just as a safe zone, I was like, okay, like I need to stay with my popular friends. Just like you, when your high school is that big and intimidating, you can't like switch social groups and friend circles.
No, social suicide.
Yeah, like that's just too much to handle. And similar to you, like just not fun family stuff at home. Like my parents were splitting up and stuff like that.
When did your parents split up? Around the same age as me?
I was like, it was 13, 14.
Yeah, so around the same age.
Yeah. And
but I feel like you went down a very different path than I did.
For sure, for sure. Like opposite, actually.
Which, yeah, it just kind of shows how there's no, like, kids are going to react to that type of thing in so many different ways.
100%. Like, I naturally now, I'm a lot more of an old soul, but high school times, like, I was super rough around the edges, like, me and my quote-unquote, like, popular friends. At that time and at that high school, the popular kids were doing drugs and having sex and going to parties and failing their classes. Like, you're a loser if you had straight A's. So it's very different from high school to high school, which I noticed when I moved and then went to our high school. I noticed that the popular girls had, like, good grades and were on sports teams.
I know.
So I thought that was so weird.
Well-rounded bitches.
Because at my old high school, like, the popular people, including myself, were just like you're going nowhere.
Right.
Like, you're going to fail, and, like, you are just, like, a mean piece of shit, but you know how to do your makeup, so.
Wow.
So weird.
That's wild.
It's really wild.
My high school, our high school, I should say ours, because Amanda, Amanda did end up coming to my, to our high school.
Which saved my life, though.
Yeah.
Because I was going down a really bad path.
Was our high school, I feel like, was preppy as fuck, though. Like, I just...
So preppy, and it, I was so alarmed.
So I think that was, like, to be popular, not, you had to be, like, a virgin and a slut at the same time. You needed to, like, wear the uniform properly, but also, like, hike up your skirt so that you – it was like this weird balance between – like if you were too quote-unquote skanky in our high school, I feel like you'd get ostracized.
Absolutely. And you also just – at our high school, like the popular people were the perfect people.
I know.
So again, perfect grades. Like you said, well-rounded.
They were like the captains of all the sports teams.
Like on sports teams, going to nationals – coming from nice, loving families that had money. So I was like, where the hell am I?
The moneyed. Yeah, the money, for
sure. Especially just when popularity from my old high school was the opposite. But so, yeah, I'm grateful that I had a taste of it in high school. So that I think it did in ways make high school easier and harder. I don't know. You really, your moral compass sometimes, depending on what style of popular your high school is. Like, again, we had to lie to, like, all our parents and our parents' friends so we could, like, go out and party and drink. And, like, that's not fun.
No.
So,
and I feel like high school – I say this all the time to people. Like, teenagers are my – the most fascinating species on planet Earth to me. I teach a lot of teenagers. And I really fucking love them because I think they have such a bad rap in society. Like nobody ever wants to deal with teenagers. Like not even parents want to deal with teenagers. Like
No,
but I just feel like they are truly
– they need like the most compassion.
They need the most patience, compassion, like conversations, explanations.
Yeah.
They are literally kids, but they're in like grown-up bodies. And I think people forget that. And I remember like the – I swear to God, the love I felt for this boy, Zach – if you're listening.
Oh, my God. Zach. I still love you.
There's no fucking way he's listening to this. But Zach, you know who you are. I loved you for 4 years. But like we can be friends now. Like reach out to me. We can be cool.
This is so funny.
But like people – the love I felt for him was like all-consuming, unacquainted, fiery, passionate, heart-wrenching. Like it was like the most real love I've ever felt. And I know that sounds ridiculous because we didn't even kiss. But like those emotions I'm not even capable of anymore because like my hormones have leveled out. My brain has leveled out. But like when he said something mean to me or whatever it was, didn't return a compliment or just something stupid, like I'd be crushed. I'd be crying at dance. I'd be mean to my parents all because this one boy like did this one thing. And people are so quick to say to teenagers, oh my gosh, your relationships don't matter. You're in high school.
So true.
Like your feelings don't matter.
Oh, this is your first love. Like there'll be a million more.
Or like, honey, don't get so upset over that. Like, it doesn't matter. You'll forget about that in a few years. And I just think that's really unfair because whatever they're experiencing, even if it seems stupid to an adult or an outsider, to them, it's the hardest thing they've dealt with so far in their life because they don't have the same perspective that a 25-year-old or a 35 or 40 – like, so for a girl, like, I remember once one of my dance students came up to me and she was really agitated and she was really upset and I was like, what is your deal? Because she was giving me attitude and I don't put up with that. But I said it in a nice way. I'm like, girl, are you okay? What's the deal? Like, what's going on? She's like, I just had a really hard day. And she started crying. She's like, my friend, like, is dating the guy that I have a crush on. And I, like, just gave her a huge hug. I'm like, I'm so sorry. That's really hard. Like, I'm really – and whatever you're feeling, channel it into the dance. Like, put it into the dance. And I feel like so many other people, especially teachers, would have just been like, oh, that's what you're upset about. Who cares? But to me, I've been that girl and I was that girl and I lost a lot of friendships over this guy and I felt betrayal at certain points and I felt embarrassment at certain points and all those things literally to this day stick with me. Like some of my most haunting, traumatizing experiences were from high school.
Me too.
Yeah.
It might be related to what you said, like our hormones are just so out of whack. So we just feel things so deeply without like the wisdom that you have as an adult.
Oh, yeah.
So, agreed. My most embarrassing moments just go back to high school as well. Because you might not even remember the moment, but you just remember how you felt.
Absolutely. And you feel like all eyes are on you. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about it, even if they're not. Like,
They are because high school is a fishbowl.
But even like high school, like for example, one of these stories that I am referencing that has stayed with me till this day is like a boy asked me in the middle of math class to go to a dance with him, a boy that I like kind of had a crush on, just a nice guy, popular guy. And I was like, okay, sure. And he was like, Sarah, I was just kidding. Like, God. And he like looked all embarrassed. And then everyone started laughing. And then I like stormed out. When class was over, I like stormed out. And he was like, why are you pissed at me? Come on. I was kidding. I'm like, are you serious? But just literally to this day. Cause
that
like,
is really, yeah.
And like poor Sarah, like I
that
was.
That breaks my heart for thank poor you. Little high school Sarah.
Thank
yeah.
you so
no,
much.
That is.
She's wounded in there. And it's like, but like, I just know myself and I know that girl. And all I wanted, literally all I wanted was to like have a nice night at the school dance with a boy I had a crush on, because the amount of shit I was dealing with at home, the amount mm-hmm. of insecurities I had, that's all I wanted. I wanted that like TV show Riverdale. Yeah. One Tree Hill moment. For a split second, I thought that I was going to have that night that every other girl has. Yeah. And then like another example is I dropped a pad in front of a boy I had a crush on out of my bag, and I cried the whole bus ride home. And that was in grade 9. And like nowadays, you know, girls don't care after a certain point. I feel like you grow out of that. But that has stayed with me to this moment. Like that moment when I dropped it, I can go right back there. And I was like,
and you feel all the same feelings.
Yeah, and he looked at me kind of like, ew.
Oh my gosh.
What is one of those moments for you? Can you
I
share
have
one?
So many.
Just pick
I
one.
Have so many. I swear to God, I even mentioned this on another podcast, but maybe I didn't. Maybe I did in my mind. It was like my very first boyfriend ever, and he was a year older, and he was a little like more popular. This was right when high school started. And so it was like a big deal that I was dating this guy. In my head it was. And he somehow the word got out that he wanted to like us have our first kiss like
oh,
that day.
You've told me I this did. Story, but you didn't say it on the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
It still mortifies me. And it's not even that embarrassing. But again, at the time, that is just your whole world. So I'm kind of shy. Okay, sorry. I'm not shy, but like...
You don't like being the center of attention.
Exactly, exactly. Thank you. So I don't know the exact... If there's one single word for that. Anyways, especially
you're
in
like
high
school, extroverted introvert or something.
For sure, yeah. For sure. Or the reverse.
Who
whatever.
Knows? You guys get the... You guys get the
yeah.
The gist
one-on-one,
of it.
One-on-one, like love it, not shy. But yeah, if all eyes are on me and there's a crowd, hell no. So that's exactly what it was. Like I went to my locker... And then I go to my locker and he's there and there's a freaking audience of at the time it felt like the whole high school, but it was probably like 30 to 40 people, which is still huge.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And they're all just there staring at me, waiting. And this is also my first kiss of all time. And I'm just like so red and flustered from this audience. And
did he like invite people? Did he send like RSVPs?
He must have.
Oh my goodness.
He must have. Because everyone knew and was just waiting for a show. So then I like close my locker to leave and he just like
grabs you and kisses
literally,
you.
Literally like leans in and closes his eyes. I'm like, oh my God. So then I just kiss him and run the hell away like to catch my bus. I'm red. Look how red
I like do not feel bad for you. I'm like, my story is like getting like brutally rejected in front of all my classmates. And Amanda's like, everybody watch me get kissed by my older boyfriend.
By
like,
popular boy.
Fuck off. Poor you. Oh my God. My first kiss was when I was like 17 because no one would bloody kiss me before that. I had to go to Cuba to get a man to kiss me. My first
I
kiss was.
I witnessed it.
I know.
Isn't that cute?
But I had
but
to
look,
wait.
It just shows how different. People's high school experience, like yours revolves around like boys and rejection. And that was like a hard part.
So does my university experience. So does my adult experience.
But mine revolves around like insecurities related to just what people think of me.
Right.
And just too much attention in ways that I didn't want.
And that's funny because I think I wanted so much more attention than I was getting.
Yeah, and me, it was the opposite.
Like, I felt quite invisible in high school, and it was like what we talked about in the podcast a few weeks ago, and I heard from some people that they really resonated with me just being so honest about it, but I still want to be, like, the
center of attention.
The most desirable, charismatic, memorable person who walks into the room. Like, I want all heads to turn, and not just for looks, but like just because I have a certain energy about me or whatever. And I do think I possess that to an extent, but like I hadn't harnessed that fully in high school, although I knew it was in me. So like I just felt like there was like this untapped potential and I had nowhere to flourish in high school. Anyway, I just, I think that's what it was. It was like, all these people will know one day that I'm a superstar. Like it was like that type of thing. And I think I was talking to Amanda about this. A lot of the motivation for a long time, not so much anymore, but in university and when I was traveling and stuff, there was some part of it that was like, I'm going to show people from university and from high school who paid me no attention that I'm, look at me, I'm traveling the world. Look at me, I'm wearing this awesome outfit. Look at me, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. It was so I could like stick it to them because they didn't see what I had to offer back in the day. And I know that's, I'm not saying that's good. I'm just being honest about where some of my intentions lied. I think I've let go. I'm so far away from high school now. I think I've let go of a lot of that. But it's just funny. Like we're 20-somethings and we are still somewhat influenced or motivated by what did or didn't happen to us in high school. And I have so much anxiety at the thought of sending my future child to high school.
So what advice would you give your future child or your past self?
My past self? Oh, I think I would just, I don't even know. I think I would just say, the thing is, like, I wouldn't change her. Like, she...
Not to change her, but to, like, you know, make the pain a little less painful.
Yeah, I think I would just say, if I just said, like, I think I'm just a few years ahead of these people, and not in a demeaning way, like, just in, like, I have different priorities, I have different thoughts, I think I would have been a little bit more able to handle the rejection because it wouldn't have – like it would have just been like, oh, well, this dopey boy doesn't like me, like instead of being like Prince Charming. Like I think I just gave everybody too much credit considering we were all literal stupid kids. I think of the kids I teach dance to who are in high school and I literally see them as kids. And so no wonder that a 15-year-old boy didn't write me poetry and like – serenade me. That's what I wanted, but like they're not capable of doing that stuff. You know what I mean? Because they're kids and they're just thinking about fitting in or not looking stupid. So I guess I would just say, Sarah, you're no better or worse than these people, but you're just, your brain is different and you have different things going on in your life and you have different priorities right now. So just focus on what makes you happy, which for me was dance at the time. And I'm so glad I had dance as an outlet in high school, like so glad. I probably would have gone down a really bad path otherwise. I was literally at dance every night, training with my best friends, with my teachers, and they always took good care of me. And I would just say, like, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. I think I thought about joining the cheerleading team. I thought about joining like the debate team or whatever. And I just never did because I just didn't believe in myself and I didn't believe I had the time. I didn't believe it would be worth it. But who knows? I could have made like a lot more meaningful connections or something. So potentially just not being afraid to put myself out there and go for things. And I think if someone had handed me the popularity I wanted so badly, I wouldn't have known what to do with it. Like it was just this thing that I desired so badly, but I think it would have ruined me, to be honest. If I had gotten that true popularity that I wanted and all the boys and all the alcohol and all the things, I don't think I'd be where I am today. I don't think I'd be who I am today. Like, I felt this burning motivation to, like, do more with my life. Wow.
That's awesome.
That was, like, really long and deep. But that's what I would say to myself. And I would say to just bloody kiss Zach. I mean, I wanted to for 4 years and I just was such a little pussy.
So you never did?
No, we never kissed ever.
You weren't meant to.
No. But everything was hints and tiptoeing around and texting.
Playing games.
And so much of that. I would have, now as an adult, like I feel like I'm just way more direct and you know what you want. So I think there's like some part of me, I'm so happy in my relationship now, obviously, but some part of me that's kind of like, I wish I just maybe got like one kiss just because I like loved the guy for like 3 years. It's like I not, you know, one dance, one hug. Like there was nothing. It was all just this unspoken chemistry, which was kind of hot in its own way. But it never amounted to anything. So, and a lot of that was because both of us were just like too scared and stupid to do or say anything. What would you say to your high school self?
To not worry what other people think.
Yeah.
And again, I'm so grateful for the person that I am today from all of my past experiences. But my first high school, I did get a taste of what it's like to be popular. And because of what people thought, I was peer pressured to do things that I didn't want to do, that just in no way was my authentic self. Like, I was just doing it because of the audience I had. So then when I joined a new high school, I at least learned from that experience. And I was like, okay, you know what? Like, I don't want any attention at all. I didn't like that attention, and it made me do things I didn't want to do. So I took an extreme opposite where I was like, I don't even like, I had two friends in high school, which was Nick and Yasmin. Hey guys.
Hey.
Love you guys. And they're the best friends in the whole wide
world.
They're
the best people ever.
Ever. So I had the best high school time in the world with them. But again, literally, they were my two only friends. And
but Amanda was nice. Sorry to interrupt, but Amanda was nice to everyone. And so was I, actually. But I remember you were right beside Hannah, like one of my good friends, Hannah.
Our lockers.
Their lockers were right beside each other because it's like it was all alphabetical. And Hannah didn't really know you, but she was like, your brother's friend is so nice. Like, she's so lovely. And that was in grade 9 because you were grade 11, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
2 years older.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's like Amanda. Like, she's my friend.
I love that.
So even though you weren't like the center of attention, you were still down to talk to anybody.
Yeah. I was way more myself, but no, I still like, I went into extremes really to just be unknown. Like, again, I just
really
didn't. Well, so
you had a shaved head though.
Yeah, I shaved my head for cancer. So that was a different thing, but it was more related. Well, A, yes, making a wig for cancer, whole other story. But for a woman or a young girl in high school, and I had long blonde hair, like that was such a big part of my identity. And for me, at least, what made me feel feminine and attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not like an attractive, well.
Yes, she was.
Not unattractive, but like that.
She was stunning with the short hair.
No, thank you.
Amanda,
but, like,
you actually were.
Even, like, to me, it wasn't even comparable, but it's what I was like, I just want to be off the radar. So, like, with all my hair gone, I'm like, I don't even have a chance of being popular. And I loved it. But at the same time, too, I needed that. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm allowed to allow myself to be as attractive as I want to be, while also being the person I want to be. And the attention, now it's fine because I don't care what people think. So that's the advice I would give. Just mm-hmm. don't worry about what people think, because they're going to judge you no matter what. Some will hate you. Some will love you.
Mm-hmm.
So be exactly who you want to be, and that's how you'll find your greatest friends.
Absolutely. I think I would also say to people who are currently interacting with teenagers, this is a piece of advice for you.
If you're a parent or a teenager.
Or a teacher or yeah, a teenager yeah. or a babysitter or whatever the heck you're doing. Protect teenagers at all costs. Like, honestly, they
That's
are
so sweet.
So,
I don't think anyone advocates for them.
I will advocate for teens. They are so delicate. They are
very true.
So, and they're all
lost.
They're so lost. And they're living in this crazy world of social media and COVID and all these things. Like, I think we need to have more sympathy for them now more than ever. But they, what I swear, and Amanda and I just explained this, like, what you say to a teenager will stick with them for the rest of their life, I swear, whether it be good or bad. And I can see it in my students' faces. Once in a while, I'll pull a student to the side and be like, just so you know, if you want, you have a career with musical theater. You're very expressive and you're very captivating. I just wanted to tell you that. So keep working hard. And their face, Amanda.
Aww.
And it's like, I swear, and I'm not doing it to like make myself seem good to them, but it's like once in a while, I just really like to like blow that air up their butts, because they float for a few weeks after. Like, you just see them come
That's
alive.
True.
And then I swear, like, maybe that kid will win an Emmy one day and she'll think back to, like, oh, well, when I was 14, like, my dance teacher. And – but it can also be the opposite. So, for example, I was told when I was 17, 16, I did a dance examination in Toronto. It was, like, a really intense, like, three-hour-long exam. And there was a bunch of other girls – well, there was, like, 10 girls in total, and I was one of them. And I was the biggest girl there, like, not only the tallest, but the – quote unquote fattest. I wasn't fat, but I was like chubbier than I am now. I had like, I was a teenager. I don't know. I had like weird, like I had cellulite and whatever. And I was wearing shorts and a sports bra, which every other girl was wearing. And before this moment, I had never once really thought that negatively about my body. Like I wasn't in love with my body, but it just was what it was. And they sat us all down. And the examiner, who is a witch, hate her. But anyway, she said, I just want to let you girls know, like, there's one of you in this room that really needs to lose weight. Oh, and I'm not going to say who it is, but you probably know who you are. And it's really like, I can't focus on you dancing when I can just see your cellulite jiggling. And I mean, to me, if you're going to be a dancer, if you're going to be in the entertainment industry, you have to be thin. Like that, it is what it is. It's the industry. And she literally said this, I kid you not, Amanda.
If she said this in 2021, oh, I know. She would be fired.
But this was in like 2016.
Yeah.
But no, still. It wasn't okay at the
– heartbreaking.
But, and I knew she was talking about me. Like I just knew it and everyone was like kind of looking at me, which made it 10 times worse.
Oh my gosh.
And she said
– this is so painful.
No, I know. It's like one of my worst memories. But I think it's important to share because she said – and this is like actually scientifically untrue. And so she's like not only spreading fat phobia, but she's spreading misinformation to kids. She said, if I weigh myself in the morning and I weigh myself at night, and if I weigh even more, 1 pound more in the night, then I ate too much that day.
Well, she has an eating disorder.
Oh, absolutely. She's like stick thin. Like she grew up in the dance industry in like probably the 60s and 70s, which is a whole other thing.
Yeah. But so she had
– She was an older woman. But anyway, she once also told another student to take meat cleavers to her thighs.
Oh my.
Anyway, and I refused to eat the whole drive home. I didn't want to eat dinner. And literally since that day, I've had an eating disorder. And I'm not putting all the blame on her. There's lots of other – factors. Like my older brother used to fucking tease me every time I ate. He'd sing a little jingle and Amanda would sing it with him.
Like his, I wouldn't sing it with him, okay, but well, I thought laugh. It was the freaking funniest thing I ever heard.
She'd encourage it. We'll get Nick to sing it when he's here. but yeah, like just shit like that stayed with me, even though it was like, but anyway, not one adult in that room stood, Amanda's still laughing.
Sorry.
Whatever.
I'm sick and twisted.
My siblings can bully me all they want, but some random bitch who and not one adult. I had two of my adult dance teachers there with me, and I love you guys to death, like if you're listening, but not one person stood up for me. Not one person advocated for me. My parents weren't there. My sister wasn't there. I was alone. And like after the fact, when I was literally in the car saying, I don't want to eat, I don't want to eat, then they were like, oh, Sarah, like, don't listen to that. Like, it was like 3 hours later. I feel like I just really at that moment was like, why aren't the women standing up for me? Like, I'm a kid and you're supposed to like protect me and nobody said anything. So me, and then in my head, I'm like, they must believe her or they must agree. So I'm in my 20s now and I've suffered from eating issues for like years. And I'm just just be careful what you say and be careful how you say it and be careful what information you're giving to kids because they will take it literally, they will take it to heart, and they will do drastic things potentially. They don't know how to see things in perspective and because their brains are literally not developed. So
it's true. Teenagers just feel things.
I know.
More than they want to.
We traumatize all these children as teenagers, then we're going to have a fucked up society of adults in 10 years. You know what I mean? So
we'll start a campaign.
Yeah.
Save the teenagers.
Protect the teenagers.
I like it.
And I think, oh my God, my favorite quote ever. I think if I were ever to get a tattoo, I might get this one. It's be the person you needed when you were younger.
Aww.
And I love that quote because
that's so sweet.
I literally feel like I would have needed a Sarah. And like, I'm really proud to say that. Like, I would have loved for me to be my dance teacher.
Oh my gosh. There'd be such a good, happy, healthy generation of dancers.
And I think like, that's emotionally like the and mentally. Biggest compliment you can give yourself. And I'm not saying that to be cocky. Like, I work really hard on how I connect with these kids and stuff. And I think Emily feels the same way. Like, my sister's a school teacher and she's like, I would have loved for myself to have been my school teacher. Because it's like, and so you should be able to like sleep soundly at night if you can say that about yourself, that like, and of course you can, because you're an amazing person too. But yeah, just protect the kids and be
save the teenagers.
And do some – we got to, like, do our therapy so that we can go back into these high school situations and just heal ourselves, find some closure. I know I do. Like, whenever I talk to therapists, I'm like, so high school. Let's go back to high school. That's where so much of my shit started, I swear.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
I feel like you need to talk more to balance it out because I've been going on and on.
No, that was really good, though. Yeah.
What did you think about the uniforms at Rigi? Because did you have uniforms at your other school?
No. Honestly, pros and cons to both. Loved not having a uniform just for self-expression.
Mm-hmm.
But again, because I had such a massive high school with a lot of bullying, a lot of different cliques, this and that.
And money too, probably.
Yeah, for sure. The lack of uniform can just cause
division.
Oh, yeah, hugely. And then once I did have a uniform, I didn't like it because I just felt it really took your identity away. But then at the end of the day, I did enjoy it, like not having to think. But also that, like, I think it makes people lazy. And not know anything about fashion. So overall, I would choose to not have a uniform for like the long-term reasons. Yeah, it's easier, la la la, there's not division. But the reality of life is we don't all wear uniforms.
True, so, like, the minute you get into university.
Get people ready for the real world. So teach them how to dress themselves. Teach them how to think.
Totally.
The night before or the morning. And they were the
ugliest effing uniforms of all time. They weren't like those cute uniforms you see in like private schools or whatever. They were like hideous.
Yeah.
And they were white blouses and we'd all have yellow pit stains. Yeah. And I hated it.
No, I'm not a fan of the uniform.
And when we'd have non-uniform days like once mm-hmm. every few weeks or mm-hmm. whatever, and it was the once most pressure.
Yes.
For me anyway, but like I think for a lot of people it was like, this is my one chance.
Yes.
And I would like be like rummaging through my sister's clothes, through my friend's clothes, and I would always end up wearing the weirdest shit because I was like,
you're overthinking it.
And like when you're a teenager, you're a different person every month. Like you have a different identity. True. I was emo one. Yeah. Like, yeah. And then I would be like hot pink girly girl. And then I would be like Harajuku girl one week. But yeah, I think part of the reason they do it is to, because I will say like there were these bitches with money. I keep swearing. Oh my God, I'm sorry. Sorry, Mom.
B words.
But there were these ladies. I shouldn't speak about high. I'm like, protect the high schoolers, these bitches. Yeah. These girls would have like, you know, $200 Uggs. Like you could still see who had money through their accessories. They'd have a really nice watch. They'd have like really expensive sunglasses or earrings. Like you could still tell through accessories who had money. But then like, certain people would go into their like Mercedes to drive home, whereas I was going into my like 400-year-old van that was falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And as a teenager, that stuff is kind of mortifying in a way because
it's true. Oh my gosh, yeah, it is.
But you're right. I never thought about it that way. But that's life. Like you know, you
just when you drive to your workplace, there's people with nice ass cars. Oh, I just swore.
No. Oh my God. Amanda's first time swearing on the podcast. I don't care. I swear all the time. It's just my mom told me not to, but I don't care.
Forgive me, Lisa. But yeah, that's life. So you know, you sink or swim.
Yeah, and if you want to make that money, make that money. Yeah, so you can buy a nice car.
Exactly. But I guess it all starts in high school.
Yeah, I think it all starts blows up in high school.
Yes, you're right.
It all it exaggerates does. In high school, everything.
It's so true. It's just like every aspect of your life is on a drug.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so heightened.
High school hormones are the greatest drug. No, I shouldn't say greatest. Are the trippiest drug of all time. Yes,
yeah.
Especially for women who are very hormonal, getting their periods. Like, boobs are tender, boobs are growing.
Well, mine never grew.
Yeah, mine never. But I missed that part of high school somehow.
I always hoped.
Yeah, it's. There was those girls too, the same girls who now have NFL boyfriends and live in LA. They were the girls who had huge tits in grade 9. It's all connected. It's all connected.
So funny. How do we end this? How do we end high school?
You go. Oh my gosh, okay. You're doing the pod this week.
I couldn't tell.
Now you know what a hard job it is. Shut up. I tried to be quiet this week, guys.
Well,
we
already gave our advice.
No, I think we can wrap it. But okay. I'm going to let you wrap it with a bow.
Follow Sarah, which is Sarah with an H, dot Birch.
No, Sarah Birch.
Sorry. Sarah Birch, Birch with a T.
Yep.
For Instagram.
Yep.
You can follow Mango if you like, which is Mango dot the dot golden dot boy. Dot? I don't know. Give us a like. Give us a review.
Yeah, good job. Keep going. Guys, this is big for Amanda.
That's it. That's all I can handle.
Okay.
Take it away, Sarah. And we love you.
Bye, guys. We'll be back next week with another fun topic. And we love you and we appreciate you. Have a good day.